Hello, Capo Beach Church Faith Family. Or should I say Capo Beach Faith Family? That sounds even better. Welcome to our podcast where we talk about a variety of topics, interview guests, and even just hear random thoughts by Matt Whitlock from time to time. It's been a while since we've done this. We got really busy with Holy Week and doing the weekend right after that and everything in between. And we thought, let's just pause on the podcast. Something had to stop while we were busy doing so many other things. So we're back. And we know that you missed us because so many wrote in saying, did I miss something? Did you guys switch a platform? No, we're still here. We only did 10 episodes. And maybe that's a stopping resting place. Maybe we'll always do 10 episodes and take a break for a couple weeks. Or maybe one episode. Maybe we'll break up this one. I don't think. Maybe you'll want me to after I talk about the things that are on my mind for this podcast. Let me start with a story. This young woman, she was 23 years old, came from a broken family. Parents got divorced when she was in her early teens. Had the struggle of who do I live with, mom or dad, and going back and forth, wondering which one loved her more at different times. She kind of had to raise herself. And at 23 years old, found herself working in a restaurant, kind of not knowing what to do with her life and kind of a wreckage of broken relationships behind her. And while she was there, one day a young man came in from across the street. His family was an Italian family, actually doing construction there. And he came in from across the street and he kind of took a liking to her. And as she waited on him, he asked some questions and found out she was single and so proceeded to ask her on a date. Of course, like all good women should do, she denied the first one. And he came in the next day and had lunch and same thing, then wanting to go on a date again. And she pushed it a bit further and denied it again. Then after several more attempts, she finally decided to give him her number. And of course, he called her and he said, hey, why don't we go to dinner? But why don't you first come to my house and we'll go from there. So he gave her the address and the day came and she got all ready and get everything together and decided to, instead of meeting somewhere else, she decided, sure, I'll just meet him in his house. And then he lived above his parents' restaurant. And then from there, we can go to dinner and maybe I'll meet his family or do whatever. So she goes to the restaurant. And while at the restaurant, she realizes his apartment's upstairs. So she parks her car, goes in, finds out, goes upstairs. And when she gets upstairs, he meets her at the door and says, oh, welcome, blah, blah, blah. He goes, hey, I'm not done getting ready yet. Do you want a drink and come in? She goes, oh, sure. So she comes in, he closes the door and he goes and gets her a drink and then he goes to get ready. Well, as she begins to drink the drink, of course, she starts feeling lightheaded and a bit foggy. And what she didn't know was that he had put some type of drug in her drink. And that evening, she fell victim to the all too common date rape. Situation happened, comes to, realizes what's gone on, gets dressed, not sure if she agreed or not agreed, pretty sure that was not the case, goes home, goes in the shower, tries to wipe off the shame and the dirt and figures it's kind of where I've come from. It's kind of what's happened in my life. And what am I going to do? Do I call the police? Do I get them involved, all the questions that you can imagine she's going through. And so she just decides to just chalk it up to a bad experience, stuffs it down, and continues on her day. Until several days later, she wakes up super sick to her stomach, throwing up all morning, but it subsides by the afternoon. Then the next day, same thing. The next day, the same thing. And all of a sudden, she realizes, am I pregnant? So she goes and books an appointment with a doctor to get a pregnancy test. And she goes in, they do blood work, all the stuff that you do. And while she's sitting there waiting, full of shame and fear, the nurse comes in excitedly and says, congratulations, you're pregnant. At which time she drops her head in disappointment. So as the story goes, the nurse says, oh, I'm sorry, do you not want to keep this pregnancy? And she says, no. And they said, well, do you want to terminate this pregnancy? And she says, yes. And said, okay, well, we can set that up. Not a problem. So she sets an appointment to come in several weeks later to have an abortion. Several weeks go by and it's a day to have the procedure done. She sits in the waiting room, is waiting for the nurse to call her back. The nurse calls her back. And as she tells the story, she's walking through the door into the hallway that will lead down to the procedure room. And as she's walking, she notices on the wall a poster with the stages of a baby's growth. She's kind of tracking it through 1 week, 3 week, 5 week, and she kind of tracks to where she is. And she says, as she realized where she was in her pregnancy, she only describes it this way, not having really had any kind of religious experience or spiritual experience. She described it as she felt like the energy of something great came up behind her. And she just starts having this experience. Well, as she's having this experience, a nurse is down the hallway going, ma'am, what are you doing? We're back here, because she notices that this woman hadn't been following her. And as she begins to walk down the corridor, she's reflecting on what just occurred. Well, she goes in the room, they get her all prepped and ready, remove her street clothes, gowned on, get everything dialed. And then the nurse leaves and says the doctor will be right in to continue with the procedure. So as she's laying there on a table and her legs in stirrups, she's looking up at the ceiling. And as she's looking at the ceiling, she gets this overwhelming sense again of this great energy around her. And in this energy and this comfort, she has a sense that she's safe and protected. And she looks up and she thinks, maybe this is God. And so she looks up and says, God, if this is you and you don't want me to do what I'm about to do right now, then I need your help right now. She says, in a moment, she felt like courage came from the ceiling, grabbed her by her stomach and lifted her off the table. She began to remove her gown and put on her street clothes. In the process, the doctor comes in and says, man, what are you doing? She says, I just can't do this. I just can't do this. He's like, no, calm down. It's okay. Like, you'll be fine. You're just nervous. We'll do what we need to do. You'll be okay. She goes, no, I just can't do this. I just can't do this. Finishes putting her clothes on and immediately marches out of the clinic that day. Why am I telling you that story? Because that was my mom and I was the baby in her stomach. This story comes back to me frequently every time the abortion debate hits our culture. Now, I try my best to be empathetic towards an agenda that seems bent on the desire for women to have a right to their body. But I get torn because there's another body growing in them that they don't have the right to determine its future. You have to realize that the Christian faith is what gave dignity to the Western world. If you look at cultures that haven't had the Christian faith touch it, specifically like tribal cultures, you'll find that their understanding of human dignity is kind of low. I can tell you stories of Hakani, who was a Brazilian child raised in the rainforest, and because of her ailments, her parents decided to bury her in the ground alive, but only because of some missionaries coming alongside, having saved her, did she actually get a chance to live. And you look at that story and you think, how is that possible that someone could go that far to do something so grotesque? Well, who tells you that a sick, lame child is any better than a healthy child? Well, if you maybe were just looking at the natural eye without any belief system in anything greater, you might think, well, this child's lame. Their life might not ever be fulfilled. They might not ever be happy. They could never play sports. They could never get along. They'll never provide for themselves. Well, let me take this child out of its misery. And in their mind, they would just bury them in the ground. Because in their natural mind, the strong survive. After all, isn't that evolution? Well, when the Christian faith comes along, or how Christianity has kind of shaped our Western perspective, we don't have that value. We hear that story and we're grotesqued by it. We're angered by it. How could they determine that for that child? It is not there. That child is a human, and that child is deserved rights, and that child is dignified. But where do we get that concept from as Western thinkers? Where does that even develop from? Well, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the Bible, because it was the Enlightenment and the Reformation that began to retool people's thinking around the idea of human dignity. Because according to scripture, it said that we were actually made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. See, God made his creation, then made man and woman in his image, and then gave them dignity by gifting them back his own creation to care for and run with. So this idea of human dignity, human rights, the freedom to step into the world and make something of it, this is all a Christian idea. Our even ability in America to debate ethical questions comes from our Western context that says you have a right to speak your opinion and someone should listen to your opinion. Or if they don't listen to it, you have a right to at least speak it. Well, we know that that's a little bit kind of here nor there nowadays because it would appear that some people don't think you should have the right to say certain things, but you have that right. That ability of a society that's been created to give you that right because you have dignity as a human and you are entitled to a set of rights, that is a biblical concept that comes from the Bible. That doesn't come from Hinduism. That doesn't come from Buddhism. That doesn't come from any other belief system. That's an idea that rests itself, anchors itself firmly in Scripture and is very clear. And that's why we have a society that values the individual. But the problem that we have in our Western society is that we value people until it's an inconvenience to us. And then I'm not sure I value you anymore. I value you as long as you say the things I want you to say. But as soon as you say things that I don't agree with, you're inconvenient, and now I want to cancel you. I value you and I'll pay you enough money to work at my company. But the moment you demand or want more money, you're an inconvenience to me. So now I don't value you anymore because I don't want to give you more money. I'm going to fire you. See, the human condition, sadly caught in sin, is a condition that says I have more value than everybody else. So abortion comes along and abortion says, while your situation is terrible, there are other ways to consider having this child. Adoption, the desire for the adoption in America is massive. The other ways of taking care, there's a million things we can do, but the most convenient way is to determine that the life inside of you isn't in fact life yet at all, so you can terminate it. Now, I'm making these comments in the most generalized sense of the situation. I understand the complexity of physical ailment during birth, the ethical questions around the mother might die at birth, is it the mother or the child? Questions around lots of different things. But if you think of abortion, the majority of times it's used, the majority is simply because the pregnancy has become inconvenient. Now, to be fair, abortion rates have dropped. Less people are having abortion. In part, it's probably because we're using more birth control, and that's a separate question for another time about how birth control allowed the explosion of the sexual revolution. And now, once women were able to control being pregnant or not, and there was an ability to structure their time in relationships around being pregnant or not, that created room for a sexual revolution. A lot of what we're living in today is because of that. I don't want to get into all that. That's just a couple of interesting things I'll throw out there, and you can look at those if you'd like at another time. But abortion's going down, and I also don't think that Christians should only yell about abortion. We should also be creating solutions around abortion. So as a church, we had talked about recently the new bill, AB 223, this bill that's being passed that allows a child's death to not be investigated by a coroner up to 7 days, and what that can mean, an abortion, a variety of different things. While we want to pray against that, what we should also be motivated to do is say, are there any crisis pregnancy centers in our area? Is there anything we need to create in our church, like a hotline, so if someone's caught in a pregnancy that's unwanted, that we can get around them, support them, find another couple, potentially in our very church, that would desire to adopt that child and find a better way to allow that child to live? But at the end of the day, when I hear Christians going back and forth on the option of abortion being okay or not okay, it's astonishing to me. Because what you're saying is those are not two separate lives, and that one life gets to determine what happens to the other life. And we have to just understand and think deeply about that. So if you're listening to this podcast and you attend our church and you feel that women have the right to get abortions, I would invite you to reconsider that notion. I'd invite you to reconsider what actually is the start of life and what that means. And if we can determine that we've found life on Mars because bacteria exist, how could we then determine that a life in a womb is not considered a life? So I'd invite you to think that through a little bit implicationally. I'd be more than willing to enter into an email conversation with you as someone who does dealt with abortion and very, 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 very close friends and family members have also had abortions and then the repercussions of that for them emotionally and what they've had to deal with that. Never not saying that God's grace doesn't surround all this, care for all this, and at the end of life, God brings all this into a perfect justice relationship. And I'm not sure how that looks. But at the end of the day, I feel like if you believe in the word of God and you hold Christianity, and you hold Jesus' way of living the human life to be your way of lining it up, I don't know how you can justify agreeing with people having abortions. Now, again, I'm not talking about those small, intricate scenarios where there's like situations occurring with ER. And, you know, I'm not talking about, and now people always go to that. Well, that one story, it's like, okay, hold on a second. But as a whole, can we agree that every child conceived in a womb has a chance and should have a right to live? At the very least, when the heartbeat begins. And we've seen some laws be passed about that. Now, do women get to choose if they have an abortion or not? Well, anyone gets to choose. I can choose if I kill someone. That's the beauty of America. I get to choose that. I can choose whatever I want. I am free to go out and do whatever I want. I can break a law. I can support a law. I can choose whatever I want. But just because I can choose, should I have that option to choose? Is it good for me to choose that thing? And you might say, well, Matt, that's, you know, you're suppressing how humans are created to be. We're designed to do whatever we want. Well, we suppress things all day long. You ask your boyfriend or girlfriend to suppress their frustration when they say mean things to you. Why can't they just say what they want? Why? It's their right. They should be able to choose what they want to say to you. And you go, no, don't you say that to me right now. Why? Because there's some things that we just know morally that are not right. I would say that every believer of Christ and follower of the way has a very difficult time, should have a very difficult time jumping to a conclusion that abortion should be okay. Now, if you're listening to this and you're cheering me on, you're agreeing with me, you're saying, that's right, Matt, preach, bring the word. My challenge to you would be, don't be a person that only stands for abortion and doesn't do things practically. Because we can't be the church that just stands on sides of political things. We got to be the church that steps into action. So if you are against abortion, then you should find ways to be involved or be available to scenarios where you can help the abortion not occur. And there's millions of organizations, not millions, I'm sorry. There's hundreds of organizations that get involved in this. Some states have passed laws where before an abortion, you have to have a sonogram. And they've shown that people do tend to decide to not have the abortion once they have a sonogram. There's great organizations that will find ways to partner with young girls, depending on their situation, and talk with them and see if there's a way that they can find a way to support the young girl through the pregnancy and then keep the child. There's a myriad of things. But regardless of you and I's specific personal story, I think as believers in Christ, you will be very hard pressed to find anywhere in Scripture to support the idea that abortion's okay. I mean, I'm all ears. Like, I would come at me with it. Not come at me with it. Come talk to me about it. Let me hear. Now, that's the objective truth. All life matters. All life has the right to live. All life has dignity. Now, the application of that in our current cultural context, in a current cultural moment, yeah, that's where it gets sticky. That's where, you know, different stories of different scenarios, and different people close to them have different things. I've had very close people and family members who have had abortions. You know, I've often wondered, when they know my story, do they feel shame because they're abortion? But they shouldn't feel shame, because ultimately we're covered in Christ and He forgives all the things that we've done. So I'm not trying to be insensitive to any of that. I'm not trying to use my story to come at you and yell at you and say, my story is better than your story. It's just my story and you have your story. But I think what we have to get back to is, we believe what we believe because the truth is greater than my own little story. And I align my truth with the real truth, because my truth is subjective to my emotions, how I feel about things. I align my truth to the objective truth, which is not determined by emotions, which is the Word of God. And I think as Christians, we got to revive our understanding of human life and human dignity, and not just in the discussion of abortion, but in all categories. How are we always serving our neighbors, creating ways for disadvantaged youth to get up and get a foot up and get an opportunity like others? Figuring out finances for those in need, like all the different things that benefit the human life. But oftentimes as Christians, the culture is correct that we are often loud on abortion and little on action. My prayer is that the generations coming up, maybe millennials, maybe it's Generation Z, will be a people that's loud on action and keeps close to their heart their conviction. Because I get it. I get it, culture. I get it. I get what you're saying. You're mad at us. You're angry at us. Christians have said a bunch of crazy stuff. They've done very little. I get that. I would argue that we've actually done, but we have done a lot of good things too. But I get what you're saying. But regardless of all that, as followers of the way, we believe all human life has dignity, born and unborn. And I think that we should fight for all lives to matter, and we should fight for all people to matter. And please don't get all spun out because I just said all lives matter. I'm not what I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is human life matters because every human being is made in the image of God. And if we believe that God matters to us, then all human life should matter, and we should do everything we can to fight for all kinds of human life in all kinds of situations. All right, that's my rant for this week, Faith Family. I hope that you didn't find it too upsetting. I hope you see kind of my perspective, where I'm coming from. I hope you're able to see the value of Scripture and letting it inform the decisions of the things you support. My encouragement to you would be this: if you don't agree with what I said, don't get angry at me. It's okay. Let's come talk about it. If you really agreed with what I said, then take heed to what I also said, which was, let's move it to some type of action beyond just posting on social media, beyond just argumentative dialogues with people on Facebook. Let's be people that step into the space, help young women, old women, any woman in any kind of need that's considering abortion. Let us be the people of love to say, we value you as a person and that little life inside of you. And would you give us a chance to let that little life get a chance? And would you be willing to be inconvenienced for the 9-month process so that we can get that little life up on its feet and in the hands of God and what God would call it to do? Because after all, had my mom gone through with her procedure, I wouldn't even be here giving you this podcast. Thank you, Cabo Beach Faith Family, for your 25 minutes, wherever you are, watching on YouTube or listening on your streaming platform. Look forward to talking next week. Bless you guys.